Cormac Moore, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us once again here on Near FM. Cormac, we're going to be talking about the great the ambush on Great Brunswick Street, which took place on the 14th of March 1921. So, can you give our listeners a rundown on events of that day?
Yeah, so it's 2 days from its 100th anniversary. So that morning was a very a morning of mourning, I suppose, in Dublin. Six men were executed in Mountjoy jail, and there were about 40,000 mourners outside. You know, there was the labour movement called for, you know, half day general strikes. The council state Sinn Féin government declared a day of national mourning. So it was, the tension in Dublin that day was very raw. You know, there was a very bitter feelings amongst the people of Dublin that actually six people were actually executed. Some of those for events from Bloody Sunday in November 1920. Mm-hmm. What transpired that whole day of the 14th of March was actually the Dublin's second deadliest day of the war, and after Bloody Sunday, when 13 people lost their lives. So six that morning, and then there was a British opposed curfew that was coming into effect later that evening. The IRA had decided early 1921 in Dublin that all of the brigades would have active service units, and so that what they tried to do was have, you know, three attacks on British Crown forces per day. Mm-hmm. There could be, you know, throwing grenades into lorries or shooting RAC or auxiliaries and so on. So that evening, they actually their captain, Padraig O'Mara of the Dublin Brigade's 3rd Battalion, which is actually headquartered in Great Brunswick Street. Now, Great Brunswick Street is no longer called that. It is, of course, Spirit Street.
Yeah.
And number 144 was where the headquarters of the 3rd Battalion was. And so the Padraig O'Mara, the captain of that battalion, he ordered them out to attack, you know, police or military targets. And about 34 of them went out to make attacks. One of them, actually, one volunteer, Sean Dolan, he threw a grenade at a police station near Merrion Square, but it bounced back and exploded, going off one of his legs. So the just with news that came through, the actual auxiliaries based in Dublin Castle were sent out to investigate the explosion.
Yeah.
There's about 16 of them, and they had been tipped off that a local IRA headquarters was at 144 Great Brunswick Street.
Mm-hmm.
But the IRA actually were also notified that the auxiliaries were on their way.
Mm-hmm.
So they were ready for them.
Yeah.
So what ensued was 5 minutes of extremely bitter hand-to-hand combat. The auxiliaries arrived in their armoured cars, their Rolls-Royce armoured car. That was attacked by the IRA. Five men of the auxiliaries were wounded, two fatally, as it transpired. But it was very hard to penetrate, you know, such a heavy vehicle.
Yeah.
With, you know, the weapons they had. The actual auxiliaries, the ones who weren't injured, got out and started firing on the IRA. They also had a machine gun and started spraying the buildings around the place with machine gun fire. Civilians hit the ground. Four of them got wounded. Three of them actually died. One actually was David Kelly. He was a member of Sinn Féin. Actually, he actually headed the Sinn Féin bank on Harcourt Street, and his brother was Alderman Tom Kelly, who was an MP and previous Lord Mayor of Dublin. And plus two IRA men were actually also killed in the
ambush. One of the civilians that were killed, was he ex-army? Is it something that he was supposed to? He was the person that tipped off the forces that the IRA were in that building.
Yes, yeah, so there was one. There was one ex-soldier, Stephen Clark, and there's no certainty that he was actually informer.
Mm-hmm.
But he was under watch, though, you know. So
yeah.
So yeah, there is there is a doubt, you know, whether he was whether he was an informer, but he was under watch, so he could have tipped off the other.
Yeah, on the morning that the six men were hung in Mountjoy Prison, that was because of something that happened in the Drumcondra area. Now they
not all of them. Two of the men that were hanged were actually executed for their involvement in events on Bloody Sunday.
Okay.
Actually, one of them, Patrick Moran, he led the attack on the Gresham Hotel,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't get hanged for that. He actually got hanged for the killings of Lieutenant Ames and Bennett at Mount Street. So he actually got convicted for the wrong
right.
event on Bloody Sunday, and he actually was hanged for that.
Yeah. So the ambush then that the IRA would have been planning for Great Brunswick Street
The IRA weren't planning that. That was their headquarters. Auxiliaries coming.
They
attacked the auxiliaries from three sides when the auxiliaries arrived.
I understand.
So it was actually the auxiliaries were at attacking the IRA headquarters.
And they just got tipped off that the IRA got tipped off that they were on their way. Okay.
Yeah.
No, sorry, Cormac. I was thinking along the lines whether or not after what happened on the morning of the executions, is that the reason why? But no, I'm totally in the wrong area altogether. Sorry about that.
Well, no, but you're right in some respects in that the captain of the battalion in 144, Great Brunswick Street, he ordered the IRA out to 34, 35 of them to go out and attack targets that evening. And one of the guys, had said, threw a grenade at a police station near Merrion Square, but actually injured himself in the process. But that was actually the catalyst for the auxiliaries to then target 144. And actually 144, from my job and from my colleague's job, 144 Great Brunswick Street, or Pierce Street, as you say, is a very significant building. That's where Dublin City Library and Archives is today.
Oh, okay, right.
So yes, it's a very significant and building for Dublin City Libraries.
Mm-hmm. Right. Speaking about the libraries, the last time we were talking to you, which is probably about 2-3 weeks ago, you were telling us about your online classes, and that's next week, the 16th, isn't it?
Actually, we put it out. Just for scheduling purposes, so it's actually going to start on the 23rd of March now. So.
Okay, 23rd of March.
All the details. So 7 p.m. the 23rd of March, and there's a 6 free online classes, just look up the Dublin City Libraries, Donaghmead Library and Raheny Library are organising it. So
yeah.
Look up their Facebook pages. You can see how you can register for those events.
Yeah, I was reading in the press release that we got that came in from yourselves there that about Douglas Hyde, President Douglas Hyde. He attended a soccer match between Ireland and Poland, and in a passionate reaction, the GAA declared that by attending a foreign game, he had broken Rule 27 of the ban, and they removed him as a patron.
That was just a press release sent in today.
No, this came in. I think it came in on Wednesday. It's one of your books, isn't it, Cormac Moore?
Yeah, my first book on the GAA. Oh, this is the Daily Mount Days on Bohemians. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. My first book was actually the first president of Ireland, Douglas Hyde, removed as a GAA patron for attending a soccer match. So it was a very, very controversial decision, and. The GAA did not come out well out of it.
I would imagine. You can kind of probably at that time might understand if he attended a soccer match between Ireland and England, but poor old Poland. That's all it was. He went. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with Poland, but it was a match between Ireland and Poland, and they didn't like the idea of that.
The GAA had its ban at that stage. So any member of the GAA could not attend or play foreign games, but it was only four so-called foreign games, and they were like soccer, rugby, cricket and hockey.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem was that Douglas Hyde was patron. He'd been made patron in 1902. But they were in a dilemma, because actually that was 1938, and earlier in that year there was this footballer, Gaelic footballer from Mayo, George Ormsby. he was a guard.
Mm-hmm.
He actually attended a soccer match in his official capacity as a guard in Sligo.
Yeah.
And he was removed, but then the Central Council reinstated him because he was walking.
Yeah.
But they never used that same, you know, they could have got themselves out of a mess if they had realised, actually, you know what, Douglas Hyde was doing the same. He was there in an official capacity. He had to go to the game.
Yeah.
You know, less than even be. But they removed him, and it was very messy, and it was deeply controversial, not just in Ireland, but internationally. It garnered a lot of international attention. And the GAA finally, in 1945, Douglas Hyde had left office, faced by John Duke Kelly, they actually agreed that the president should be able to attend whatever games they saw fit.
Exactly, he's representing the country. Just give us that date again, the change of date. Did you say it was the 22nd?
The 23rd of March. Yeah.
23rd
of
March.
I just want to alert people to another talk, which on the subject we're talking about today, on the Great Brunswick Street ambush, that's actually happening next Monday coming, the 15th of March at 7 p.m. And my colleague, my historian in residence colleague, Cathy Scuffle, along with historian Liz Gillis, they're going to be talking exactly about that Great Brunswick Street ambush.
Right.
From March 2021.
Okay.
That should be a very good talk. Both of them are excellent historians, so they'll give good background into, you know, it's the second deadliest day in the War of Independence in Dublin.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be anywhere near as well known as Bloody Sunday, but it was a hugely significant day.
Mm-hmm.
If people just go to the Dublin City Library's website, they can get the details of how to, and that's free as well, a free webinar. So.
Yeah. Have you anything planned for Easter time? Talks or anything like that?
Well, just I've got my six classes. They're going to be every Tuesday for 6 weeks from March 23rd. So it kind of rolls into Easter.
Yeah. So it's a busy time for you.
Busy time, yeah. Absolutely. A lot of key anniversaries are coming up as well, with partition, the troops. You know, obviously then later in the year, the treaty, and even like the Brunswick Street ambush, but also Custom House was a very significant event as well.
That's
the burning of Custom House. That was May the 25th. So, it's got a lot of things coming up.
Yeah, as I spoke to you before, I'm aware of all that through family, but you have me delving into things since I started talking to you a couple of weeks ago. You have me delving into things that I hadn't really given much thought to. But
well, that's great. Well, you sent me on some notes from your own family. You know, it's a great history your family has. So it must be very interesting for you to delve deeper into.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. So anyway, we, as you said there, your colleague will be on the 15th of March. And
yes, Monday, 15th of March, 7 p.m. So Cathy Scuffle and Liz Gillis on the 100th anniversary of the Great Brunswick Street Ambush.
That's it. Are there any plaques along there to commemorate
that? Yes, there is. Yeah. Outside the library, you can see a plaque of people who died.
Right. God, see, you walk around the town and you just walk by these things and you don't really take much interest in it. But I shall not do that anymore. I'll be checking them all out. And of course, your own 1 hour is on now the 23rd of March.
The first one is Tuesday, 23rd of March.
Yeah.
It goes on for the following Tuesday for 6 weeks.
Yeah, so we'll give that a mention as it gets nearer to it. So there you go. Okay, Cormac, we'll leave it at that. And thanks very much for joining us. And we'll talk to you again.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And there you go, guys. That's Cormac Murder. And he's a historian, Dublin City Council. And if you want to know more, you go on to dublincity.ie and you can get all the information you need regarding the courses and the speeches that they're going to be given.